Chapter 21. Asking Questions. Socrates was known for asking questions. Socrates is generally considered to have been a pretty smart guy. So I'll ramp up the importance of this piece of advice by saying that I got it from Socrates. The best advice so far? Asking the right kind of questions works better than making statements. If you were to have asked Socrates, he would have told you that not all questions are created equal. Some questions are wasted questions. I've known a few kids through the years that were notorious question wasters. One in particular comes to mind who, upon seeing his mother's skin glowing red around distinct bathing suit lines, asked, "Did you get a sunburn?" People typically waste questions when they would like to start a conversation but find themselves at a loss for what to say. This sometimes happens when there is tension between people, but no one will say so. A wasted question may be a sign that someone wants to resolve the conflict but doesn't know how to begin. Some questions are rhetorical. In a conflict situation, such a question has the effect of a negative statement and does not register as a question at all. Behind the ever-popular, "Do I look stupid to you?" is the statement, "You seem to think I'm stupid, and I get very angry when people think I'm stupid." The equally ubiquitous, "What in the world were you thinking?" is really a thinly veiled, "You blew it big time." And, "Were you raised in a barn?" is little more than, "Close the door, you inconsiderate dolt." As such, rhetorical questions don't really count as questions for the purposes at hand. It should also be noted that adding a clever question-like appendage to a statement does not magically make it count as a question. Consider, "You take great pleasure in humiliating me, don't you? Well, this is a fine mess you've made of things, isn't it? You will earn no points with these. Come now. You know better, don't you?" Let's explore a few varieties of questions that do tend to aid in discussion. Questions of a truly inquisitive nature are generally helpful. These questions show real interest in the other person. They are an admission that you do not claim to understand all the facts and are a reassurance that you have not yet drawn any conclusions. Look for ways to replace statements and opinions with inquisitive questions, and you will remove bricks from walls of defensiveness. So instead of exclaiming to your son, "I can't believe you got an F in English," try, "Where do you think things went wrong in English this term?" And rather than telling your parents, "You just hate all my friends," you might ask, "Can you tell me what in particular you don't like about Joey?" More specific questions will keep things focused, but don't abuse specific inquisitive questions by using them merely as an excuse to be nosy. Another useful type of question is the leading question. A leading question is used to elicit the truth of a statement from another person, rather than stating the facts yourself. Mastering the use of leading questions can drastically change the dynamic of conversation. It is a skill, and thus it takes practice, but the practice offers a major payoff. You see, when emotions are roiling, much of what we hear is deflected from invisible walls of defensiveness. We are too busy thinking about how hurt we are, or planning what we will say next, or imagining how good it will feel to kick that kneecap, to really hear what the other person is saying. They are the enemy in those moments, and as such, their words are weapons. We try to protect ourselves from those weapons by downplaying, tuning out, or dismissing their words as biased, ridiculous, or petty. A leading question, however, is a Trojan horse. By its nature, it has the power to get to the other side of a defensive wall. It also sinks in deeper than a statement could, because the truth of the answer must first travel through the heart and mind and then out of the mouth of the other person. What does a leading question look like? Here are a few examples of statements reworked into leading questions. Statement: I'm really disappointed in you. Leading question: Can you imagine how I might be feeling about this right now? Statement: You have a big problem with lying. Leading question: Would you say most people consider you a truthful person? Statement: You were really mean to me last night. Leading question: How do you think our conversation went last night? Hitting someone with lots of facts or opinions can quickly devolve into talking at someone rather than talking with them. Such a barrage of statements can be tuned out easily and indefinitely, with the speaker being none the wiser. However, it is nearly impossible to ignore a leading question because, by its nature, it requires a response. And responses are a good sign that real communication is happening. Perhaps the most effective part of learning to use leading questions is that the truth of the response is revealed by the other person and not by you. You are not the bad guy. Your words are not the gavel. And so you actually stand a good chance of getting the truth across while maintaining the ability to be sympathetic and encouraging as harsh realities are brought to light. One additional note. Just as rhetorical questions are really just statements disguised as questions, leading questions can come in the form of an invitation. For instance, there is not much difference in effect between, "How do you think our conversation went last night?" and, "Tell me about how you think our conversation went last night." Both versions imply the need for a response. We'll revisit the topic of asking good questions in upcoming chapters.